You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I've got a veteran for you, a 35-year realtor from Colorado Springs, Bruce Betts. And Bruce has a colorful background, but he's also gotten trapped in the quagmire of a narcissistic client, which hopefully will cause all of us to think a little more carefully about the respect that we show to other professionals. And as professionals, maybe a great way to handle our futures. So dial in, enjoy the visit, and I'll see you on the other side. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on the show with me here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm sure you remember, because you've only met a couple of people in the last year. I met you last year at Launch 2020 here in Colorado Springs.
Oh, Launch 2020. That was like one of the last events before the COVID shut everything down. It was a nice snowy day. It was fantastic.
Yes, it was. It was very, very good.
So how has your real estate life been since COVID started? Have you been super busy or have you been medium?
I would say unbelievably super busy. And you know, as it happened in business and in real estate particularly, there are people that kind of shut down in the face of obstacles. And there are other people that just figure out how to work with it and through it and survive. And so during that time when we were totally shut down, I listed properties I never saw and sold properties I never saw.
Weird.
Which I actually kind of liked, you know.
Tell anybody that on this public video and recording that the whole world
okay.
knows.
All right. We won't mention that part.
It is strange, though. I mean, we've spent our careers being in houses and really hands-on. And COVID, you couldn't, at least for a while. And then, of course, now we're still easing back into how we're going to conduct business as we move into the next phases. It's very wild.
Right. Yeah, it is. And we had people in our office that, you know, found a way to work through it and others not so much. But some of our folks, we have about 80 people in our office. I think we did 1,200 closings last year.
Wow.
And some of our people had their best year ever and others not so much. But we had some people that joined our office because the leadership where they were was pretty silent. And we were on Zoom at least once a week, which we're always now on Zoom every week at least once. And during those times, things were changing so quickly. We were on Zoom sometimes two or three times a week, maybe twice in the same day when, oh, the governor changed the rules or this is that in helping people work through things. So we managed to work through it and it was a great year.
Well, I think what's interesting is that as we move through the next phases, we're going to see that gap widen, I believe, because the realtors who found a way to keep moving in 2020 have watched their 2021 get off to a pretty stable start. And those that were unable to get themselves up and after it, nobody faults them for it, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of things to struggle through. But it's going to be a really challenging time going forward. But doesn't mean there's not people that don't overcome every challenge that comes their way. So how long have you been in the business, Bruce? When did real estate become your chosen career?
I don't know if I've chosen it yet.
Well, it chose I guess.
It chose me about 35 years ago.
You're so close to Realtor Emeritus. You're like 5 years away from the big pin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, 40 years. You get a special pin that's got rubies on it, and then you never have to pay dues again.
Awesome.
That's really an unspoken perk in realtor world is to just survive four decades. That's all. It's no big deal. So
right,
I'd love to know, in your 35 years of real estate, actually, before I ask you your crazy question, what did you do before real estate? What was your field before you landed in this space?
Well, that's an interesting question. I wasn't really interested in much of anything except playing music. So I made my living traveling around playing electric guitar in
Seriously?
Bands that you never heard of. Right.
Try me. The best band name you played with.
Okay. Well, this was years ago. And there were some places we played, like I remember Fort Wayne, Indiana, would not put the name of the band on the marquee outside because the name of the band was Foreplay.
And that's so mild by 2021 standards.
And that's true. That's certainly true. So I gave that when I hit about 30. And the only offer I had was to go in the car business. And I always loved cars. So I did that. And the very next year, I started racing stock cars locally. So I did that for 20 years. And then when we opened our own RE/MAX office, I stopped doing that I did it for a couple of years after we opened. And then I stopped to focus more on building the company. And then I started racing again, this time BMW and road racing about 4 years ago. So my passion is music, racing cars, and taking care of people and helping people overcome obstacles. We've talked about that. And so it's really been fun. And I still get to play guitar, though it's not in bars anymore. It's at local fellowships on the worship team. I play here in Colorado Springs on a worship team, and I play at one in Denver. So that's kind of fun.
Okay, so you have one of the most colorful little stories there of people I've encountered. In fact, it kind of makes real estate sound boring to come behind the guitar man and the racing man. In fact, I think you kind of belonged in North Carolina instead of Colorado. So I guess the Lord just had a plan for you to be out west instead of here with Marshall Tucker and Junior Johnson.
That's right, because that would have been right there. And I tell my wife all the time, it's a good thing I don't have a better singing voice, because that's what I'd be doing.
You would have done like Marshall Tucker and played until the wheels fell off.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content.
So I know that you know the premise of the show is telling a story. And in 35 years, there's probably more stories than any recording, anything on the internet could even handle. So if somebody asks you, hey, Bruce, what has happened in real estate? What should I expect? What's the wildest thing you've encountered that rocked you back on your heels and said, I cannot believe this is happening?
Okay, I've got one of those. With the narcissist client from hell that was the only one that ever made me seriously think about quitting. So I've got one of those. And my assistant and I went over the list yesterday. I think I wrote 11 offers for them. Then this morning I saw, and so then I'm wondering, do I really want to tell people that I did this? Hung in with these people this long? Why would you do that? So I saw a proverb this morning that said, if you faint in adversity, your strength is small.
Oh.
And that really said a lot to me. And then recently, so I don't dream these things up, but recently a pastor friend of mine said that smooth waters do not a good sailor make.
I love that one.
Yeah. So I worked through it, got him in that house, and never reached out again. And fortunately, now I can look back and laugh, but at the time it was grueling.
What told you they were narcissistic and what made it so hard to manage them? Because obviously you've got a pretty open heart. Was there just no give and take with that client?
No, that's a good way to put it. No give and take at all. It was all about them. And are you ready for the whole story?
Oh, totally ready.
Okay. So they were referred to me by a very important client. And matter of fact, we are just today listing someone else in upper management with that company, listing their home. still doing transactions with them. So, and someone else in that company that I'd never worked with before referred this person that shall remain nameless, of course. But as I understand it, the lady was a widow and the man was, I guess, recently divorced. And so they had decided, we've heard this before, that they wanted to get their own home instead of having each other's home, you know. So we went out looking, and first they wanted this foreclosure that was just not available and never really came on the market. Then there was an auction property that they decided they just had to have. So we participated in the auction thing and they won. And then within 24 to 48 hours after winning, they were desperate to get out of that deal.
Why?
And they, well, more to follow. But the short story is, what I eventually figured out was, when they get control of a property, they don't want it anymore. When they don't have control.
Chase them?
What's that?
You're only about the chase?
Yeah, I think so. And control. So when they don't have control of a property, they want control. But then when they get it, they don't want it anymore. So they, you know, in these auction properties, it's as is, where is done deal, right? So they came up with this story that there were things that had changed in the home, damage that was done between the time they saw it and when the auction, which whether it was or not, we don't know. The auction company actually let them out of it, gave them their earnest money back.
Which is all right.
Yeah, that's a miracle. Then they went down the street, put a vacant lot with panoramic views under contract, overlooking the Front Range. Then the auction property came back on the market and they decided to bid on that again. And they came up with their ceiling of how high they would go, which they did, and they didn't win. But then they were desperate to call that auction company. We've got to get it. We'll pay more. No, that didn't happen. So while they had this one vacant lot under contract, they wrote offers on one or two other vacant lots, one that got rejected, one they wrote in a backup position because they were so desperate somebody else had that under control. They finally terminated that vacant lot. Then we wrote an offer on a property that didn't meet their criteria at all. That never happens, right? So they wrote that offer on a Saturday. We submitted it with a deadline of 5 p.m. the next day. This was before the market got as crazy as it is now, but it was after the bad market. So it was, we were on the upswing, if you will. So they wrote that on Saturday. We submitted it. Listing agent, very experienced, good person. And the very next morning, Sunday morning, they call me like 8 or 9 o'clock. Oh, this property, we've got to see this other property. Okay. Call the agent, got in there, withdrew the other offer before the seller even responded, wrote an offer on this actually perfect property for them. That seller then countered on a couple of dates, but nothing major, which is a lesson of be careful what you counter. Because then they said, well, we want to go back and see it again. But the only time we can go is 5 o'clock tonight. And so I called the listing agent, who said, well, let me call the seller. Call the seller. The seller says, well, we have dinner guests coming at 5:30. So, all right, you can come at 5, but, you know, in and out as quick as you can, please. So we come over at 5. There's still dinner is in a pot on the stove, kind of, you know, simmering. They hung around there for an hour and a half.
Seriously?
Knowing, yeah, this is a hint of how it's all about them. And then at the end of the hour and a half, they said, nah, never mind, we're not doing this deal. The very next day, it sold to somebody else, which made them very upset, of course. So then I think there was another property, I think was when it went to across town and wrote on another property that didn't get accepted. Then they went back to the other property that they had written on and withdrawn and got that under contract. Then they went for home inspection, which is, you know, home inspection is not to see if you like the floor plan or want to redecorate, but what's wrong with the house? Roof, plumbing, gas leak, whatever it is. I sat at the dining room table as their decorator, and their contractor spent 2 hours in the house. No home inspector.
Oh.
So then they asked for a $30,000 price reduction. Well, they would redecorate. Okay. And of course, and in the way our contracts were written at the time, they're a little different now. They issue their inspection objection. then the seller has time to respond and there's a resolution deadline. If there's no resolution by the deadline, written resolution, it terminates. The buyer has the option in between to withdraw and just buy it as is. So the within an hour of them submitting this $30,000 reduction request, the seller said, just no, but no way, which was the name of the street, by the way, no way. And so I know, and the listing agent, I knew she's really good. And, you know, I was apologetic. And so we went through this at least 7-day period of, will you let this seller go so they can get back on the market? No, we're not ready to do that. In the meantime, showed him another property on the west side of town. As her and I get out of the car, are walking up to the house, someone else walks out from looking at the home. And lo and behold, it's a friend of hers who loved the house.
Oh, now she's got to have it.
Oh, got to have it. Yep. You're exact. Go back to the office, call the agent. No, sorry. Just went under contract. So then, remember, we're still left this other seller hanging. If we don't have a written resolution by Friday night at midnight, it terminates and they can go back on the market. And the listing agent, of course, is calling me every day. And the buyer is saying, no. And so then they want to see another house on Friday afternoon. He calls. She found this house they just had to see, belonged to a friend of theirs, was coming on the market. I think we'd already written 2 or 3 offers in that neighborhood. And so, okay, meet you over there at 5. Can we let these other people go? No, not ready to do that. Okay, meet them over there at 5. We have, my wife and I have a dinner plans with another couple from our office at 6. Go over there at 5, and he walks in and says, well, I don't know why she wanted me to look at this. It's not even something that we would like. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But anyway, that didn't stop them writing an offer on that house. And I don't remember the exact numbers, Lee, but like the seller was asking 565, which was below the 595 they were going to ask when it went on the market. And so, which was a really great price for that house. And so they wrote an offer at like 525 or something crazy. So then the seller comes back. The agent calls me. We're now at dinner. The agent calls me I step outside to talk to the agent with a counter, call them with the counter. Round and round we go. Can I release the other house? No, not yet.
How rude.
Exactly. We went round and round on that house where they came up a little, the seller came down. We just couldn't make that happen. All right, good. We'll just move on. Can we release the other house? No. I think I was away from the dinner table at the restaurant for at least an hour. And of course, when I went back in, yes, bring me that bourbon sampler.
It was super patient waiting for me to get this done.
Yeah, not to mention the other couple. And so then we come back in. And so guess what happens the next morning? Well, that contract terminated, right, at midnight. House goes back on the market. You know what happened next.
They got to have it.
But I think it was maybe there was a little discussion. It might have been a few days later when we probably wrote on, I don't know, 3 or 4 other homes. Anyway, we wrote another offer on that house. There was no inspection, no dates, like closing date. That's it. Oh, and by the way, the mortgage lender that they ran around the world like they ran me around, and by the way, their friend on this other house, the mortgage lender was a friend previously. Well, not anymore. But anyway, wrote another offer on this house. And then, this is really crazy. You know, some of these contracts have if the appraisal comes in too low, the buyer has the right to, you know, object to that, right? They were so mad. The appraisal came in $30,000 high. And I don't remember the exact number, but the house was, we had it under contract like 550, and the appraisal comes in at 550. They want to object to the appraisal. Well, the contract allows you to object if it's low, but not if it's high.
Right.
The Mrs. Buyer never spoke to me again after that because they were so furious about that. Yeah. They wanted that as an opportunity to try and get their 30 grand back, but instead they got 30 grand equity. So then I'm going to try and shorten this story. keep it down under an hour and a half here.
Anyway, 4 minutes left.
Okay. So the day of closing, the lender calls me at 7:30 in the morning and says, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, sorry, what? They're not going to close. So then he calls me. Now we just can't do it. We're not going to close. We know we're going to lose our earnest money. We're just not closing. Well, okay. So I call the listing agent. I'm sorry. Oh, the day before at the walkthrough, what a fiasco that was. So anyway, 2 hours after they said, we're not closing, they call back and say, well, we might close if we get 17,000 off.
Oh, they just done yet. Oh.
No. And they already saw the seller panicked getting out of the house. And they've already seen the settlement. The seller is getting nothing. So where's the 17 grand coming from? Well, we know the answer to that. So I call the listing agent out of really just concern and heartfelt respect for the seller and what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So I call the listing agent and I say, hey, if the answer is no, it's perfectly fine with me. But in the interest of your seller, if you want to get this deal done, I'll split it with you. So we agreed. The lender said, well, this is going to take days. And then the lender said, well, wait a minute. If we wait days, something crazy will happen. We'll close this at 2 o'clock this afternoon, which they finally did. So there's your narcissist client. And I'll just remind you and remind me and anybody else that may ever hear or see this. Smooth seas do not a good sailor make. So we have to work through these things for the benefit of the ultimate benefit of people. I have a couple of really funny ones, though, that I'll just close with if I have time. We have the poop man. So my teammate shows him a house. It's vacant. He has to go. There's no toilet paper. He has a bandana.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not going to say anything other than he brought the bandana with him back into the car.
Well, at least he didn't leave it in somebody else's home. And so that was a professional to the next level.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I have one more. I have another teammate that is meeting the radon company over at this house so they can look at installing the radon system, and they got to get to the sump pump. So she's laying on the floor down into the sump pump, and it's kind of loose. So she's trying to get the hoses tightened and the sump pump turned on.
Oh.
Yeah, I still have that photo.
That's a rough.
Oh, that's another one of those. If you retreat in adversity, you're weak. Your strength is small and her strength is not small. So I'm surrounded by super people that do a great job. This is a fun, crazy business, and you never know what's going to happen next.
It really is. It would just be nice if the public knew that when they jump through all of these imaginary hoops in their head and they withdraw and write and withdraw and write, they're messing with people's lives. So as buyers out there, if you're listening to this and you're kind of feeling like, well, you know, maybe Bruce isn't being nice enough for those buyers, you have to remember all the sellers that they pulled through the really rough ringer, because people have to make deposits and they're packing and moving. And there's a good way and a bad way to handle real estate. And it can't always be just about what the bottom line is. You've got to remember that there are lives at stake. And so that's why you do want a professional realtor by your side. But Bruce, in looking back, don't you wish you'd fired them earlier in the process?
Well, many times as we went through that, my wife asked me, you just got to dump them. That's enough. You just got to get out. Because they obviously had no concern whatsoever for anyone else. Not me. I can deal with it. I'm experienced. But what about those sellers? What about those other agents? What about all those other people that were involved that got dragged through the mud, like you said?
Even as an agent, you don't deserve to be treated poorly. And if you're a realtor listening to this or watching this, you should always consult with your broker or your state attorney to find out if there's a way to cancel agency agreements if somebody is treating you poorly. And as a consumer, you've got to know that your agent can't treat you poorly either. We have to have better two-way streets of communication. Bruce, if somebody's looking for a realtor in Colorado Springs who's got 35 years of experience and can talk about rock bands and cars, how can they reach you?
719-338-1001 or BruceBetts15, which of course is the number on my race car, at gmail.com.
Okay, so you know I'm going to poke at you for having a Gmail address, right?
Yeah, you will. So you could try brucebetts@remax.net. You could do that.
It's like the more professional businessy one, see, because Bruce is a real professional realtor. He just has Gmail because it's easy, but he knew I was going to poke at him. But don't worry if you didn't write it down, because all of his contact information is in the show notes for this episode. And Bruce, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I wish you to never have another client that behaves.
If I do, I will refer them out immediately.
Exactly. Because there's a butt for every saddle, and so everybody has an agent.
Yeah, and the happy ending is that listing agent and I are great friends to this day.
Well, you know, our colleagues and our competitors are definitely one of our best assets in real estate when we take care of each other with great communication, because it does put a bow on things somehow, some way, most of the time.
That's right. It does. Thanks so much, Lee.
It's good to see you, and I appreciate you coming on the show, friends. If you've enjoyed listening to Bruce and you want to hear some more stories from the wild tales of real estate, make sure you subscribe, give us 5 stars, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown, or tweet me @LeeBrown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.